that.
Feeling that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that came in hard right there.
I can't even rap, but I may think about making one.
That's what that beat makes
Don't get me fired up, man.
Let's welcome everybody to the first official show, the R&B Podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere else for podcasts.
Nate.
Listen,
this is the hottest thing.
It's the hottest thing.
We got to
let people know who we are. I'm Nate Burleson.
I'm Mike Robb, real Mike Robb. You know what time it is, man.
We the host of the show, and we got our producer, TD, behind the glass. He giving us topics. He giving us beats. He giving us that hot fire.
He like a young Dr. Dre.
You hear this beat?
Yeah, I hope he invents some headphones.
I'm going to
tell me about it so I can invest.
R&B. Hey, listen, coming up on today's show, we got conversation about Greg Hardy, my Detroit Lions.
Don't get me going, bro.
Kirk Cousins. No, we're going to get you going.
Don't get me going.
We're going to get you going. And anything else we want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
We will go off script at some point, but that's what we do.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you one thing before we even get going. That hotline bling, dog, you knew it was coming.
We got to talk about that in the show.
Dog,
in the show is dedicated to music.
Hotline Bling, that joint hot right now, dog.
Okay, yeah,
it's hot right now, dog.
Can we circle back to that?
All right.
All right, we're going to circle back to that. Let's talk about Greg Hardy.
Oh, man.
So what we saw on TV, on national TV, was Greg Hardy getting into it with what seemed like his teammates. And then we saw the All-22. So for people that are listening, the All-22 is basically the eye in the sky.
Yeah.
That's God's vision on football. You see everything. All 22 players, 11 on offense, 11 on defense. You see all the 22 players in the 22 film was him approaching the special teams huddle,
which is a no-no.
Apparently slapping the paperwork.
Nah, he slapped it. I seen the video. He slapped the paper. The man acted crazy. Look, I don't know. I've never seen somebody take steroids. But that I would have known. I would imagine what roid rage looked like. That's what it was. Look, I know. Hey, look, man. We all get emotional on game day, right? But I played in the special teams, and like we talked about it on Total Access the other day, bro. This is what I do. You think I run down on kickoff, wanting somebody to return it for a touchdown? You think I want that?
We both ran down.
Like, come on, man.
We both
done that, dog. So for you to have the audacity to come in this now, if it was Dez. I can see that. Dez, you've been here.
Dez would have crossed that line of touching the coach, pushing his shot.
I ain't even hitting on that yet because, for real, he could have a case against him, for real.
Yeah.
So I ain't going to hit. I think universally that's
It was
wrong.
A physical altercation.
I think universally that was wrong. But I'm talking about, you know, I'm hearing on all these other networks, people that ain't talking the real, how, yeah, this happens. On every team. It does happen on every team, but not to this extent. You don't have guys going into a special team huddle, okay, who, first of all, Greg Hardy has never run down on kickoff. He's never returned a kick.
Right.
He doesn't know how hard it is to only have 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day to practice your craft. And like I said on television, do I go up to you when you trip on a pass rush or when you get blocked and dominated? Yeah, you got three sacks or four sacks on the year, but what about the rest of the 100-and-some-odd plays you've been in?
Right.
I don't get at you for not doing your thing. I don't get at you for that.
See, Mike, I can appreciate that. Like you said, the other networks that are talking about this subject, they're not really speaking the real.
They're not,
This is the R&B Podcast. We're going to give you the real every time, and we're going to touch on these subjects. So when I saw it, I thought to myself, one, I've been in that situation. Me and you are both rah-rah guys, right? We've walked into a huddle, whether it was offense, defense, special teams, and we wanted to encourage these guys. Sometimes it comes off wrong.
Yeah.
I remember walking into many special teams huddles. After me making a play, a touchdown or a big catch, I'm walking in barking. I'm telling these young pups, you know, the young dudes, they love free things. So I'm like, listen, I'll buy you a flat screen. I'll get you the new Jordans. Hey, if y'all get a fumble right here, I'll give y'all all $1,000. Like, that's the type of dude I was. And there's times where the special teams coach looked at me and said, hey, Nate, chill for
not
a
right
second.
Now. We don't need it right now.
Not right now. Not that they don't need it. No, let me coach. Let me do what I'm paid to do. You can say whatever you want after these 17 seconds, but let me get these guys right for this split moment. and then I chill. I chill for a second. And then I dive back in.
You're absolutely right.
Greg was – he
went too hard.
I feel like the coach told him, like, yo, chill. I got my guys. This is my group. Relax. And he spazzed out, bro, like spazzed out. And then it went from touching the special teams coach, pushing and shoving, slapping paperwork, and barking at everybody on the sideline.
To me, they got a bit – to me, this is a big – this is a reflection of a bigger problem, Nate. I'm being honest with you, bro.
What's that problem?
I'm being honest with you, bro, because, again, I look at the alpha dogs on that team, which, again, Dez Bryant, and I've been – if you ever been to a Dallas Cowboy practice or a meeting where that Dez is involved in, he is the alpha dog on that team.
For sure.
Period. Right? And when the alpha dog, the man, the face of your franchise, the undisputed leader is trying to calm you down, okay, and you slapping him away.
It's facts. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong.
I saw that.
Man to a man. I saw Dez's face. It changed. It changed. Like, whoa.
There was somebody holding Dez back.
You know what I'm saying?
I saw the situation like this. Chill.
Chill. Like, you can't have that on a team. And I look at it like this. If Greg Hardy can't be controlled, there's no recoil, there's no reprimand for his actions. You think now all of a sudden you're talking about re-signing him to an extension. Look. I need people to understand, and this is the real, this is why you tune into this podcast. I don't know if Jerry Jones is in this to win football games. I don't know. Because when you let a guy like this, if you let a guy like this be the leader of your team, if you show that the example is you can hit a coach, you can disrespect this organization, you can say what you want, and you'll be extended for it. You'll be awarded for it. What precedent is that setting? Check this out, Nate.
What's up?
But from the business standpoint, them tickets are going to rise.
So that's what I'm saying. Okay, so this is what I'm
saying.
All
of that. But what are you in this game for,
Mike?
Because to me, setting that example will not win you a championship.
Listen, for everybody listening, me and Mike, we won't disagree or argue with each other just for the sake of listeners. But I'm going to keep it real with you, bro. I disagree. I feel like Jerry Jones is in it to win games. Now, is he making money in the meantime? Yeah.
Yeah, because Greg Hardy is a talent.
He's a talent. But we know that Jerry Jones and what he's built, that stadium, how people approach loving the Cowboys, it's different than any other team.
Yeah.
The first time you played in that new stadium, it was crazy.
I was distracted. I was distracted by the pole dancers.
Let's break it down for everybody. Let's break it down for everybody that doesn't know. Walk out the locker room.
Yeah.
We walk through a lounge/bar.
It's a club.
It's a club. You got glass on each side, people looking at us as if we're in a zoo.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm enjoying it. I'm a receiver. I like the attention. So I'm like, what's up? How you doing? Hey, how's that drink? Is that vodka soda? Okay, all right.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
You walk through. Then you get inside the field, and you look at this screen that spans, what is it, 50 yards?
Dude, I don't even know.
Okay, the biggest HD screen you ever seen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, that's dope. I'm chilling. I'm watching myself on a replay like, yo, this is fly right here.
Yeah.
And you're talking to your teammates like, I heard they play Madden on this during the week. You're making up all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I heard they got fish in the flow, like barbershop too, right? So listen. So then you chill and you look around. The suites are in the ground.
They're dugouts.
So people that are in the suites are probably chest level. So you're watching the field from the best view ever, right? Grass up. You're watching people.
I had a fan hand me a football that went over there. Like, here, take your kick return football back. I'm like,
that's fly. But that's not even it. So I'm sitting there chilling. I'm like, okay, they got cheerleaders. This is Dallas Cowboys. I heard about their infamous cheerleaders. And then I'm like, what's that on the second level? Is that a dance team? Oh, okay, they got a dance team. That's what's up. So they got cheerleaders and a dance team. I look on the third level. They got go-go dancers.
Oh, yeah.
In cages.
Going in.
So Jerry Jones is definitely about making that money, which he is doing. But you're saying he's not trying to win games.
I'm not going to go there and say he's definitely not trying to. Obviously, everybody in this league is trying to win games. And I think he's trying to win a championship. But there is a fine line, right? Greg Hardy would have not been signed by New England Patriots.
That's facts.
You see what I'm saying? Greg Hardy would have not have been signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There's a lot of teams that weren't going to sign him.
But just off of – think about this, Nate. You just get convicted of something, right? And then a couple weeks later, you come out with a video talking about the guns and all this type of stuff you talk about. Now, look, I understand the thug role, right?
Yeah.
I ain't going to even lie. I done lived that life before. Like, you know, right, you know what I'm saying? We all have dibbled and dabbled, right, in our former life.
Right.
But
right.
Come on, bro. You got paid what? How many million to sit out last year? You got too much money to be sitting around trying to be a thug. Who cares? You're not a thug.
What about
your kids are going to grow up really nice, okay? You're not a thug. You are not a thug.
What about Haynesworth? You remember Haynesworth?
Yeah.
And the Pat signed.
Terrible.
They signed him.
Terrible.
Yeah, but they signed him, though.
Pat also signed Ocho Cinco.
Terrible.
What about the Pats?
And how fast have they got him out of there? How fast did they get in and get out?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
How fast right. did they get in and get out? Once the Bill Belichick sees the real guy, even Tim Tebow, hey, we signed Timmy. We might, whatever.
All right, so to close this out, I'm going to just pose this question. You're in the game on Sunday, and – Greg Hardy steps into your special teams huddle. You the leader, Mike Robb, captain, special teams captain. And he comes in there barking at you guys, a grown man barking at you guys, and then starts barking at your coach and gets into a physical altercation.
Nate, respectfully,
facts.
On any team
yeah.
that I've played for,
yeah.
it wouldn't have happened because the respect would have been there.
But say it did happen.
Even
though.
Got there. Okay,
okay. Say it did happen.
Say it did happen. First of all, I'm not gonna throw blows and do whatever. I'm not gonna make two idiots.
It's too many people watching.
It's too many people watching. And we've played this game and been in this game long enough to understand that, right?
Yeah.
But when we get in that locker room, we're gonna have some real words. And I don't care how fired up you are. Mm. Like, hey, I don't care if you're 280 pound, whatever the case may be, you may beat me. Mm. But I tell you one thing, you're gonna know you got in a fight. Mm. And you're going to respect what I do for a living. You're going to respect my coach and what he does for a living.
Facts.
Because it's too hard to play special teams Facts. In this league.
I know.
It's too hard, bro. And don't act like we're all people without faults because yeah. he has his clearly.
Yeah.
So get out my huddle, bro.
I feel you. Hey, so I love stories, and this is it's attached, but it's a little bit different. Here's my special team story of the day.
Go ahead, man. Let me hear
it. So I'm coming off the edge trying to block punts. This is my rookie year in Minnesota with the Vikings. We're playing the Giants. So I come off the edge, and I almost block the punt, and he muffs it, right? The punter muffs it. And at this point, I don't really know what to do. I don't know if I should grab him or grab the ball. I'm in between. He scoops it up, scrambles for the first down. And essentially,
did he outrun you, dog?
No. Okay. I'm still on the ground.
Okay, yeah,
but
I was finna say.
Essentially, like that was kind of like the turning point. It's the fourth quarter, and they end up going down. I think a go-ahead field goal or something like that. And it was one of my worst plays because I just didn't know what to do. If I'd have hit him, we would have got the ball in our territory, probably scored, and put the game further out of reach. Mike Tice, uh-huh. who was the head coach at the time. He walks into the special teams meeting the next day. And I don't know how he timed it up. I don't know if the coach sent him a text like, yo, we had that play. Come in here. And I'm looking here. I'm like embarrassed. You know, you get that yeah. feeling when you're watching the play where you messed up on.
But you know it's about to. You know
yeah.
as a player.
Yeah,
you know
I'm
it's
going to
happen.
The coach, yeah. the special teams coach spazzing out and being yeah. like, Nate, what's going on? So so Mike Tice walks in. And he kind of like looks at the screen. And he looks at me. He looks at the screen, and he's like, man, I'm just keeping it real. Mike Tyson, my guy, and this is the Army podcast. This is what he said. He said, tackling like a little right? But he said it under his breath, and I'm just like, damn. But that's how I felt anyway. So
yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, like, is this the moment where I get released? Like, is my career over? Like, I didn't do what I needed to do on special teams. And I thought to myself, man. This is so much harder than I thought it would be. And ever since then, I was like, it doesn't matter if I'm on offense, special teams, returning, blocking, coming off the edge. I got to give everything I got. Because in that moment, I wavered. I was on the fence, and I didn't yep. know what to do.
And you can affect the game, man.
And that's what it was. And ever since then, me and Mike Tice been close. Like, that's my dude. That's one of my favorite coaches of all times because he was so real, so honest, and that's what it was.
There it is.
That's my special team story of the day. I hear you, TD. I hear you. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Even Young Thug feeling this. We got Young Thug.
Yeah, I hear you, Thug, in the background. Oh.
He like,
this sound like,
nah. He like, nah. My jeans ain't that tight. That's... All right, so listen. Cole Beasley, right?
Okay.
Dallas Cowboys. He muffed the punt. Not, you know, the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. He muffed the punt at a critical point.
The moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Dallas still had a chance to win this game. And, you know, I was a punt returner. And not like, oh, I was just back there when I wanted to make a play. There was times throughout my 11-year career where punt returning was all I did.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting on the field as a receiver. I tried to affect the game in a different way. And
You were good at it too, Nate. I can't lie, bro.
I appreciate
you did your thing.
No, you was coming. You was coming at my head. Okay. Story time. Segway. I'm a punt returner in Seattle. San Francisco's in Seattle, right? The 49ers versus Seahawks.
Yeah.
Mike Robb. What was the, you're the
you were personal protector.
Personal protector.
Personal protector.
So you're right behind the center, yeah. In between the center and the punter.
It was like a monsoon. The game was delayed for like 2 hours. It was the first year of Thursday Night Football.
First year.
Very first year. I remember the turf in Seattle was coming up,
yeah.
And we had to fake a
monsoon
punt.
Monsoon was coming down.
We had to fake
and
a
you punt. Guys were in your territory right around, yeah, the 50 or so.
Yep, yep.
And we knew that the possibility of running a fake was in the air, right? So you got the direct snap.
I'm out of there, man.
Hey, listen to me, everybody. Mike got the direct snap. And he hits the corner, and nobody gets him. Ain't nobody put a hand on him. Ain't nobody.
The gunners, I'm literally running past the gunners, and they're looking at me. They don't know if the ball's kicked or not.
And he is hauling ass. And he makes eye contact with me, and I'm thinking to myself, like, damn, I ran over.
I'm like, I had no fair dodge, and I'm going to get this man everything
and
I got.
I knew you wasn't going to shoot me. For some reason, I knew you wasn't going to try to give me a wiggle. Like, oh, you was looking at me. Oh. Once we made eye contact, I was, yeah, like, hey, it's about to get real.
It's
right
that
now.
Time.
It's, yeah, that time. So I thought to myself, I said, okay, let me see. I can go up top. Which
don't
means
do it.
I'm probably going to get ran over.
Don't
He's going to score. Or I can dive straight at his ankles.
That's exactly what he did.
I know. He ain't got the maneuverability, no, which ain't a word, to move past me. Because think about it. If you would have tried to shake me, you probably would have. Because how often do I tackle?
Dog.
I probably got seven tackles in my NFL.
When I look back at it on film, everybody was like, oh, my.
You ran right at me.
You had
so
to
room.
It was so much space. But I'm like, as many times as I have to run down and tackle this dude and race him all around. He was talking a lot of trash,
yeah,
all that. You know, I'm like, he's fitting to get all 225 pounds of,
yeah, me. And you had to protect the ball.
Yeah.
You had both hands.
I had to. I had
so
to.
I dove at his ankles, and then I got to tackle. And I was like, damn. Like,
yeah, I tried to give it to you. I tried to. But I saw Nate. We made eye contact. I blinked, and then I saw the sky. I'm like, oh, what the?
Ankle tackles, man. That's what,
yeah,
Deion used to do. You know, shout out to Primetime.
Prime.
He wasn't hitting nobody up top.
Oh, man. Prime was a cover guy.
Hey, so, all right. So, Cole Beasley muffs his punt. And then he utilizes one of the, I guess, the biggest tools in today's relationship with fans, which is social media.
Yeah.
So, apologize. And he basically said, listen, fans, I'm sorry. This isn't me. I apologize. You know, to everybody who's real supporters, I appreciate you. You know, kind of it won't happen again. Like, where do you stand on that? Like, guys using social media now to reach out to their fans in really the darkest moments and situations. Like, this is probably his darkest moment of the season.
Yeah.
You know, did you muff a punt and you could win the game? He's going to remember it for the rest of the life. You know how that is.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think social media, I think guys being on social media and reaching out to their fans, I think that's awesome.
Right.
That's what it's there for.
Right.
But use it as that to reach out to fans. Don't, hey, I'm in the bathroom taking a doo-doo. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm moving. I'm going here. I'm going there. No, man. No, don't do all of that. But use it as a tool. But my only thing about Cole, all right, and I had a coach tell me this a long, long time ago. When you mess up in this league, okay, everybody, especially the players and coaches, everybody knows that you feel the worst out of anybody.
Right.
Obviously, we know that, right?
Next, yeah.
We don't have time for all that apologies. We know you're sorry.
Yeah.
Show me what you're going. You know what I'm saying? Don't dwell on the negative. You see what I'm saying? I know he's trying to apologize, and I know fans can get a little rowdy, whatever, whatever. Well, just get off social media for the day after. Don't listen to him. You know, my senior year in college, when I was listening to racial stuff saying that there can't be a black quarterback at Penn State. Yeah, you can't do this, you can't do that. I just didn't look at it. I just didn't look at Facebook. I just didn't read the papers. And then, you know, you're oblivious to it. So and then you can get a chance to go on the field and do your thing the following week. So I agree with players going, you know, using social media for what it is. But to go out there and just to say you're sorry, this, that, and the third, the people out there that's gambling in Vegas, that sorry ain't going to get me my $200 back. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That sorry ain't going to win me my fantasy league. Yeah. I mean, straight up, these people are real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're serious about what they do. So, it's a good gesture. I get it, man. But leave those sorries to yourself. That's called the loser's lament.
That's what it is.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda's, man.
The woulda, coulda, shoulda's.
Come on, man.
You know what it is, man? It's a guy trying to heal himself.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Through social media. And I know that because my last year in Seattle, I snapped my arm, broke my arm in the car crash trying to save pizza, right? Which was probably the worst way.
Because, yeah, and I heard about that.
This is a whole different show. No, we're not going to dive into that right now.
We're
going to do a whole show about the pizza.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That pizza
was. But you know what? After I got off the pain pills,
yeah.
After I, you know, was able to kind of step outside the house and stop feeling sorry for myself, I reached out to social media. But it was in a way like this. All right. The floodgates are open. Bring the jokes, and bring the comments. And people were going off. Man, how could you do this? You and Matt Stafford had a connection. You were leading the league, and you know, catch ratio and all this stuff. And then people were like, "Well, what kind of pizza was it? Did you have a deep dish or thin crust?" And I was just like, "Man, listen, I get it. I deserve all that."
Did they put you on IR after that?
Nah, I missed 8 games.
You missed 8 games.
And then came back, and I scored the first game back in Baltimore. But I still knew that my career was over. It's crazy. I came back. My first game back, I scored a touchdown against Baltimore. But in my head, I was like, this ain't enough to save my career.
Yeah.
Like, I'm too old to have this type of injury on top of the other injuries. And I knew that, like, I wasn't going to be able to bounce
back.
But
you were out 8 games. So when you stopped the pizza from falling and all of that,
you
were out 8 games after that. It wasn't like you had an opportunity to go on the field the very next week.
I got
to,
you. Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Talking about with Cole,
With Cole, it's like, bro, you're going to have an opportunity this week. Get over it because we need you.
Goldfish memory, yeah. I feel you.
Short memories, bro. All right. You know what I'm saying?
So let's move on. But I can appreciate that.
TD?
Okay,
with
TD.
Tracks.
You coming with some tracks.
I got to get a freestyle from Thugger before we get up out of here. Yeah. Thugger!
Hey, Thugger, Thugger. Really?
I got to tweet a picture of him. He looks just like Thugger.
I don't even know what Young Thug be saying, bro.
I don't either.
I don't know if I'm just too old school in my era with lyrics, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know.
He's sapping.
Some of these young cats, they're not really rapping.
It's called sapping, not Warren sapping.
Sapping?
Sapping. Sing rapping.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's called sapping.
That makes sense.
Or ringing, whatever you want to call it.
All right.
But it
ringing, rap,
whatever right. You want to call it, you
so
know?
We got a couple subjects we're going to talk about, man. Dan Campbell, right? Miami.
Yeah. Do you know the years this guy was in the league? Because I feel like I've seen this guy, like, in a helmet.
I feel like we played with him or against
him, man, like, for whatever reason. I don't know. I had to check
I feel you, though. You know, it's crazy. So, he's the interim coach after – the head coach at Miami got fired, right?
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, guys, last played in 2009 with the Saints. He was with the Lions from 06 to 08.
Okay, so.
I might have played him, man.
Yeah, of course.
I'm telling you.
Of course you did. He last played in 09.
Yeah.
Bro, like, we definitely played against him.
Millennials.
Yeah, so listen. He comes in and fills in. I appreciate that, TD, for the information. And his press conference out the gate. This is my perspective, and I said this on air. I was like, okay, he's saying a lot of cliche football jargon and regurgitating what we've heard before, right? Got to change the culture. Got to hit. These guys got to have fun. It's all about being physical. And, you know, all these things that we've heard. And I said to myself, all right, is he just saying that because the cameras is on him? Because he wasn't really going into detail. And then you watch these dudes the last 2 weeks.
Balling.
Not just balling. It literally seems like the culture has – everything he said It's application. They are more physical. They are hitting more. The culture has changed. These guys are having fun. Like, how often can a coach say, this is what I'm here to do, and then it goes out in the game and they're doing it? So, like, have you seen that? Because we've been in coaching changes.
Oh, yeah.
We've heard coaches BS us. We've heard coaches sit up there and talk that talk and keeping it all the way real in R&B. We're like, he not about that life.
Nah.
And we know that application isn't going to apply to us and this team. But in Miami?
They're responding. They're
immediately.
Definitely, yeah, they're responding. And you know what? I like what Dan is doing. Honestly, I mean, he started off with Oklahoma drills. I ain't did Oklahoma drills since.
Explain Oklahoma drills for people listening.
Yeah, you basically lay 5 yards apart. I mean, the way we did Oklahoma's back in Richmond, VA.
Go head up.
Was you go head up. You lay on your back, both guys. One guy's a ball carrier. You blow the whistle. You get up and you run into each other. And somebody's going to lose.
No avoiding.
No avoiding.
Not trying to shake the
individual. No fair dodging.
People listening.
You put two bags up on the side and y'all go right at it. And, you know, I get he's trying to make the guys tougher, right? But I don't know if it's Dan Campbell. I don't know if it's his effect or is it the effect of
change.
Whoa, our head coach got fired.
Change.
People are going to not be here next year. Let me put something better on film. Now, they are running the ball better. That helps Ryan Tannehill. He looks better because there seems to be more emphasis on the run.
Right.
The defense seems to be like they've let loose. And look, man, somebody, please, somebody tell Cameron Wake. I know him as Derek Wake. Mm-hmm. Tell Cameron Wake to get on iTunes, buy R&B Podcast, and hear me out.
Okay?
So you're better than that.
Why do you know him as Derek?
Because we went to school together.
Okay. So and Cameron's middle name?
Cameron was a name. I guess it's his first or middle name, whatever. But we know him as Derek.
Okay.
Okay, he used to handcuff him. But we'll talk about that later. He's the handcuff. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, D-Wake, bro. Okay.
Right.
Let me tell you something, dog. Mm. These last two games, this is how you should have been balling. Why does it take a change? Let me tell you.
Some people saying it about Sue, too, though.
But Sue, I look at film. Sue commands a double team. He's still commanding a double team. You and Olivia Vernon was one-on-one. You guys have always been one-on-one all season.
Yeah.
So it just seems like now your energy level is up. The same thing happened to this guy in college. Let me tell you, Nate, I have never seen a more athletic and talented individual.
The way he gets
I am
off the ball,
serious.
Unbelievable.
No, dog. This man could flip. This man could do crazy stuff athletically. Doesn't have to touch a weight.
Backflip?
Yeah, I know the backflip, bro.
That's crazy.
On a mattress. You know, they ain't got no spring. An old mattress, a hood mattress. You know what I'm saying? Dude is athletic, bro. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? And he should be one of the contenders for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And to see that effort in the first four games and all it takes is a coaching change, some staff changes. Hey, you know, this, that, and the third. Now, all of a sudden, it's a whole new team. And I don't know if that's in the Dan Campbell effect or – the changes.
But Mike, listen, he said that we're going to start hitting more. We're going to start banging, as we know it in football. And if you're banging at practice, doing Oklahoma drills, doing stuff that you haven't done since middle school, then the game day becomes light. Like, we've been on teams where practice week is a cakewalk. And you're not going through anything physical. And sometimes you walk in the game like, man, this is the first time I got hit in weeks. But what Dan is saying, nah, we're going to bang so much at practice that when we get on this field on game day, this is like dessert for my team.
And Nate, from a wide out, I'm sorry, bro, from a wide out, that sounds all good, you know, for kicks and giggles, right? But I play fullback 9-on-7, bro. I ain't tired. I ain't trying to hit that. I ain't trying to do all that.
Right.
That banger during the week, right? And again, the changes affect these guys are pumped up this, that, and the third. But see, when they go to New England on Thursday and take this L, I want to see how they face adversity the next week. And how about week 12 and 13 when all that excitement has died down?
Before we move on.
When you can't go physical at practice anymore, you know that.
I feel you. Before we move on.
Come on, man. I got an Uzi over here, dog.
That. Hey, listen, before we move on, we don't do predictions much on this show, but – you said they're going to New England
on,
to take
bro.
A L. Are they going to get blown out in New England?
I don't think they'll get blown out.
I don't think
I think it'll be closer than people think. Actually, I got them beating New England later on in the season in Miami.
Word.
Well,
say word.
First of all,
I'll tell you this. If they do get the upset, Dan Campbell cemented his job as a head coach.
This week?
Max, if they get this upset.
If they get this upset, I come on R&B next week
And spit a freestyle?
I don't know about a freestyle because it ain't going to be a freestyle because I'm going to think of it all.
I'm going to be writing it all week, so I ain't going to lie to you. But I will get Dan Campbell's effect. I mean, his respect and okay. Say that it's not the changes effect.
All right, cool.
You crazy.
We're going to go through speed round a little bit. We got a little bit of time left.
Thugger!
Hey, what's up with my Lions, bro? Like, I guess this is my time to
go off my
soapbox.
Matthew Stafford asked about it, man.
Nah, dog. They got Lombardi fired, right?
Come on,
bro. And people gave me a hard time yesterday. A couple of the producers walked in the green room and said, "Nate, do you got blood on your hands?" I said, "What you mean?"
Nate, you did get him fired.
No, I did not get him fired.
They all watch us, bro.
I get they all watch
us. We the hottest thing on TV.
They hear what you're saying. And one of our segments was the front page of the Detroit Free Press paper talking about Nate Burleson. Says that.
Whoa. Now, I didn't mean to interrupt you. They put you in front of the Free Press.
Yeah.
That made people in the hood hearing what you say, bro.
Yeah.
You got an effect out there,
dog. Okay, get the man fired. You know what got him fired?
The play call.
It's the inability to get Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate open. Golden Tate had 1,300 yards last year. Calvin Johnson was voted the number one receiver by his peers. And I talked to him preseason. He said, "This is the healthiest I've been."
Let me ask you something, though, Nate. All right. We both know this. Keep it funky now.
I'll keep it a buck with you.
On teams, I don't really care if a team know what play we're doing if we're going to out-execute you. So how much of that does go down to the actual players
I feel you
running
on
the plays?
I feel you on that. And I get what you're saying. And I feel like when I played, I don't care if you knew where I was going. I'm still going to win this route, right, in this one individual play. But Drew Brees was talking during media day during the Super Bowl last year, and he said, speaking on Lombardi and his play calling, he said, "Just by formation, I could predict 90% of the plays he's running." Now, this is Drew Brees.
Yeah.
There's people that are hired within every organization just to look at tendencies.
Yep.
Never even play football. I'm talking about mathematic geniuses and geeks that sit there and will go back to the coach and say, "This is what I found out about this offense." And if they have something that's so familiar on each play – and their tendencies aren't broken, talk about breaking tendencies, then it is easy to stop. If you know that Calvin Johnson is sitting at the line of scrimmage stationary, then put a big DB on him and have help over the top. And by formation, you know there's only two routes he's running. Of course, he's not going to get
the ball. But, Nate, ask the New England Patriots. They said the same thing about Coach Bevel.
But
in Seattle.
But
you see what I'm saying? And Seattle seems to still – You see, the players still
what?
Play competitive football.
Okay, yeah. It's not like that offense is.
They went to two Super Bowls with the same quarterback.
What about now, though? People are seeing these tendencies, and they're jumping all over Seattle.
That's true.
Look at the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots. They change up every week.
Every week.
They run plays we haven't even seen in years.
Let me tell you, dog.
And they've been in the holster. You talk about having an Uzi.
Yeah.
They got ammo. They bring some plays out. The Gronk touchdown this past weekend. If the Jets didn't give them an all-out blitz, they wouldn't even brought that play out. Which means for a whole week they said, "Hey, at some point the Jets will give us this look. And when they give us this look, we're going to run this play, which is going to gash them."
You know what?
It was a touchdown.
And speaking on that a little bit, this may be off-kilter a little bit, man, but it's amazing to me the football IQ level of the players the New England Patriots have.
Right.
Year in and year out. I know that's probably a reflection of coaching, but I look at some of the routes. Like there was a route that Danny Amendola caught in the end zone. Julian Edelman and Gronk had to give a certain vertical release.
Yeah.
And Amendola had – the timing had to be perfect for him to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he understood that I need these guys for a pick. I can't go in there too fast because this linebacker's flying to me. I have to sit in this window. And how many times you see young receivers or guys run through windows
and they
look
panic
at the quarterback
they
like
panic. They
the
panic
quarterback's like, "What are you doing?
What are you doing?"
It seems to me that they're always on the same page. I just had to get that out there, man, because there's not another team out there like that.
I can appreciate that because,
you know,
I'm going to keep it real with you. You know, I played for three teams and I had a good career, made some good money, but that's one team I wish that I played for.
Man, you ain't lying,
bro. Patriots, just because.
Shout out to Bill. Tom.
So before we close, this is the last question I'm going to ask you. And you talked about it at the beginning of the show, you know, the music you're listening to. What are you feeling outside of football? Huh? What are you feeling outside of football?
Outside of football, like, I ain't gonna even lie. I'm gonna keep
right
it
now,
funky.
The Drizzy Drake got
that joint. That joint got me funky.
His
man.
Dance moves in the video. You,
I ain't gonna even lie, dog. He a part of pop culture and he understands that. He knows that we're gonna put the memes out. He knows that we're gonna do all
but
that.
But that Hotline Bling.
That joint.
I know when that Hotline Bling.
Ah,
hey,
that joint got me going, man.
That boy can't lose. I mean, he can go in there and BS in the booth and he's gonna be a hot single.
And shout out, before we go, man, I just gotta shout out my foundation, Excel to Excellence, my team Excel Kids, man. We run like a fantasy football type thing to get kids excited about sports and excited about learning, bro. And man, we're seeing like a 55% increase in GPAs.
That's dope, bro.
Mentorship program. That's all, man.
You
got to
give everybody your Twitter and your Instagram.
At Real Mike Rob. That's my Twitter. Real_Mike_Rob. That's Instagram. Okay. Snapchat, Real Mike Rob. Periscope, Real Mike Rob.
Yeah.
Facebook, Real
okay.
Mike Rob.
Okay, yes. Yeah,
it's so all real.
My Twitter my Twitter is Nate13 Burleson, and my Instagram is just Nate Burleson, man. Reach out to us, man. If there's certain things you guys want to hear,
we'll talk
let's
about
talk
it.
About it.
Yeah, man.
And we'll do that. So
hashtag R&B pod.
And you got a hashtag R&B pod. This is gonna be one of the dopest podcasts out, I promise you. And we're gonna have people call in.
All of that.
Sport.
The line was tied up today. I had Marshawn calling in.
TD.
The line was tied up.
Let me get this beat before we close out.
Oh.
Hey. Now this is that smoke. Now this is that Warren G right here. Hey. Appreciate that podcast, Mike. Yeah. It's going down, right? Yeah. We chilling a freestyle. We got another meet. In the meanwhile, we got R&B.
Oh.
Total access.
Oh.
Come through. Dressed so fresh.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I can't rap today.
Hey.
Shut up. That was about a half a bar.
Like half a Snickers. We're going to do this. And deliver. I feel you.